The cupboard is bare.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. As early as today, the Senate will take up a bill to extend benefits for more than a million unemployed Americans. It'll be the fourth, count 'em, fourth such extension in which the federal government pays the tab for people whose state benefits have run out. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Under the Senate bill, unemployed workers would get up to 20 additional weeks of unemployment checks, and Congress would pay the $2.5 billion price tag by renewing a tax on employers. It amounts to $14 a year per worker, says Judy Conte of the National Employment Law Project.
It is not a new tax, and it is quite minimal considering the stimulative effect of all of these unemployment benefits going out to people who will immediately spend them on the necessities of life.
Employer groups aren't against more benefits. They just don't want to pay for them. State Chambers of Commerce sent a letter to the Senate that says funding the extension with an employer tax will stifle job growth. Norm Isatolo of Michigan's Unemployment Agency says another extension is worth the cost.
We estimate that about 100,000 jobless workers in the state who have exhausted their benefits will qualify.
And with Michigan's unemployment rate over 15%, those workers aren't likely to find another source of income anytime soon. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The recession is over. That's basically what the government is expected to tell us later this morning. The gross domestic product figures are expected to show the U.S. economy grew in the third quarter by about 3%. For people who still can't find a job, the end of recession won't mean much. If our economy did grow last quarter, the Obama administration will want to claim some credit because of its bailouts and stimulus spending and incentive programs. But how much good are those programs really done? The Cash for Clunkers incentive program rang up 690,000 new vehicle sales. But the auto website Edmunds.com is raining on that party with a new study. Here to tell us about it is Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite joining us live. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
What does the study say?
Well, Edmunds.com looked at the numbers. They sort of looked at car sales trends, and they calculate that most of the cars sold during Cash for Clunkers would have been sold anyway at some point during the last half of this year. So they say that out of 690,000 cars sold, only 125,000 were really added by the Cash for Clunkers program.
And why is that important?
Well, they say because of the price tag. I mean, the average rebate for a vehicle traded in during Cash for Clunkers was $4,000. But Edmunds.com says if you look at it in this new light and consider that most of those cars would have sold anyway, the government was paying more like $24,000 each for the 125,000 cars they say the program really genuinely brought in. And as you can imagine, the Department of Transportation isn't too delighted with this study, and they've made clear they think it's picking holes in a perfectly good program. And they've pointed out that, you know, the program sold 250,000 cars just in the first 4 days, and it handed a lot of much needed business to car dealers, and that it really helped give the economy a boost.
Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite reporting live. Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
And now let's do those numbers. European markets are flat this morning, but Asian stocks just having a terrible week so far. They were down another 2% today. It didn't help that yesterday's report on American home sales was disappointing. The S&P 500 skidded 2%, and it was even worse for the NASDAQ. Tech stocks fell closer to 3%, and the Dow lost another 119 points, closing down at 9,762. Senators have agreed to extend a popular tax credit for first-time homebuyers and to offer a reduced credit to some repeat buyers. A spokesperson for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says senators agreed to extend the existing $8,000 credit for first-time buyers with a credit of up to $6,500 to repeat buyers who have owned their current homes for at least 5 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If you would like to go to tonight's Game 2 of the World Series in New York, it'll cost you hundreds of dollars per ticket, at least. Yet, if you watch a regular season game in any sport, you'll see, usually, giant patches of empty, unsold seats. All games are not created equal. Now, a Texas company is marketing software to help teams sell tickets at the prices fans are willing to pay. Barry Kahn is the co-founder of QQ. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
What is the pricing problem that your software goes after?
Well, I think for years, and I guess probably forever, tickets haven't been accurately priced. You know, you've got times where tickets are going to be resold for 2, 3, 10 times face value. And then for every ticket that gets resold, you're looking at 4 tickets that never get sold. And a lot of that problem is because tickets are priced, you know, 9 to 12 months before a game.
So games shouldn't all cost the same amount.
No, I mean, the same reason that when you look at the schedule, you don't value every game the same. You choose to go to one game versus another. And, you know, we're helping the teams kind of reflect that in prices.
So give us an example of how the pricing would change. So the San Francisco Giants hired you last spring to handle the pricing for about 2,000 seats in their park. And what happened differently when you worked with them?
I mean, I think you saw a lot of games changing price to reflect the value that you wouldn't have expected at the beginning of the year. You know, great example being the Colorado Rockies. You know, the Rockies aren't a big rival for the Giants. It's generally not a very popular opponent. But when you started looking down the stretch, the Rockies were leading the wild card. The Giants were a game or two behind. And that became a really popular series.
Would your software also work for music concerts? Kanye West, you made a fool of yourself at the Music Awards. Your tickets just got cheaper.
Yeah, it definitely would, and that's a direction we're looking to go. I mean, as it was, you know, Kanye got kicked off of a tour. So those are the same factors that if you're sitting there looking at buying tickets, that change what you decide to do.
Barry Kahn is the founder of QQ, and Barry, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.